Stop 7. Rumours circulated for months to come about people arming themselves, planning to plunge Britain into a bloody revolution. But the revolution never came, and order was soon restored. Whilst military constables and the yeomanry were praised, the persecution of suspected rioters started. In January 1832, 23 people faced capital punishment. 9 were declared guilty, 4 of those recommended to King's mercy, and therefore not hung, but to be transported. Among them was Valentine Marshall, whose name can still be found in the galleries of justice, scratched into a brick in the men's exercise yard. 2 petitions pleading for the lives of the 5 others were signed by 17,000 and 20,000 people, but failed. In desperation, 4 of the condemned men tried an unsuccessful escape. One day before the executions, Thomas Shelton and Charles Birkins were informed that their lives would be spared due to yet more royal mercy. On Wednesday the 1st of February 1832, the 3 others, George Beck, John Armstrong and George Hearson, were due to be hanged. The aforementioned broadsheet sold afterwards described the scene.
The die is cast. Passage along the high pavement was stopped by a numerous body of constables. The 15th Hussars and other units were also there. So formidable a force was never before assembled in Nottingham. The unhappy men were brought out, and many people called out, "Murder!" They were soon tied, the scaffold fell, and their earthly sufferings were terminated.
The Reform Bill was finally passed in 1832, but any hopes that a reformed Parliament would relieve workers' plight soon proved to have been held in vain. Among the early policies of the reformed Parliament was the new Poor Law, by which eventually all forms of relief payments were abolished, leaving many with no other option than to enter a workhouse. In his diaries, Newcastle recalled a conversation with an unemployed stockinger in 1842.
He supposed that the object was to drive the people into a revolution, that both parties were alike, and that between them the intention was to crush the poor man.
There is no happy end to this story. People were murdered on the scaffold, and living and working conditions only got worse over the next years. However, while the Whigs' Reform Bill did succeed in adjusting and stabilising the British regime, the riots and their aftermath encouraged autonomous working class organisation. The rioters had defied the calls for calm and moderation by the respectable citizens, proponents and opponents of the Reform Bill alike, and these had in turn demonstrated that they all carried in their knapsacks a special constable's baton. Out of this, new struggles soon developed, in which Nottingham again was to be a banner town, in which many would live up to what Newcastle wrote in his diaries.
They say now that nothing but revolution can set them right.
We hope you enjoyed this walk. For us, discovering pieces of Nottingham's long history of social struggles has proved to be enjoyable and fruitful. We found a rich heritage of dissent, radicalism, revolutionary sentiment and rioting, demonstrating yet again that there is so much more to Nottingham than brainless slogans like proud, ambitious, safe, and commercialized legends about fictional archers fighting for good governance. We have been inspired by what we found and will keep digging. Please share with us any feedback, comments and critique you may have. Thank you very much.